Well, John chapter 14 this morning, please. Verse number 1, if you'd like to stand and open the Word of God. John chapter number 14, verse number 1. John chapter number 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, bless your holy word now. Bless this messenger. Bless it to the hearing of the people. May they receive it as the word of God, the living word, life-changing, soul-saving word of God. In thy name I pray, amen. You can be seated. Verse number 6 is absolute. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All I'd have to change is one word, just one, in that text, and it would be readily accepted by every religion in the world. What's the word? Where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, any man or a man can come unto the Father but by me. But he uses the absolute, no man can come to the Father but by me. The Buddhist religion is not as good as the Catholic religion, which is not as good as the Shinto religion, which is not as good as the Mohammedan religion, and so forth and so on. They're all religions. And the sad thing is that here in East Tennessee and many parts of this country, we have the Christian cultural religion. You were raised in a Christian home. You were baptized when you were 5, 6 years old. And now you've lived a godless life. And anyone asks you, and you're 35 or 40, and been through 4 or 5 marriages, and somebody asks you if you're a Christian, you'll say, of course I am. I was saved in such and such a church, or I was baptized, or I was this, or I was that. Let me say something that'll help you this morning. You are part of cultural Christianity, and you don't have a clue who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You must be born again. You must be born again. And let me explain something to you. I need to say it very clearly where you can understand what I'm saying. If you live a godless life, jumping from one bed to the next, one marriage to the next, you're here, you're there, you're in, you're out, you're not saved. You're not saved. Well, God will chase you. No. Let me explain something to you. A life like that is proof positive that you've never met the Lord. You don't know Him. He does chasten his own. He chastens his children. Believe me, he does. And no man is perfect. We all fail. We all come up short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark. But folks, I've been at this a long time. And I've observed the lives of a lot of people. Believe me, I've observed their life. And I've known people down through the years who've lived a godless life, done everything under the sun. Yet if you talk to them, they're saved and they're ready to go to heaven and meet the Lord. You are deceiving yourself. When he saves you, he changes you. And he does something inside of you that is going to make a difference in the way you live. And you'll know if you're a true believer in Christ by the way you live. Amen. By the way you live. Not the profession that you make and the catechism that you adhere to and whatever, but by the way you live. But that's not what I want to preach to you this morning about. I want to preach to you what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I want to talk to you this morning about the rapture of the church of God. where he's coming back for his bride. That's why I prefaced what I said this morning by letting you know, are you really a Christian? Are you looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? This Bible tells me that there is a mystery, and that mystery is the coming of the Lord for his people. The reason I read John chapter number 14, he said, if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're not talking about a general resurrection. We're talking about being with the Lord Jesus Christ. For my dear friend, Christianity, if you like to use that blanket term, is all about Christ. It's not about Baptist, it's not about Methodist, it's not about Presbyterian. That's a bunch of man-made garbage. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about him. It's always been about him. It always will be about him. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And say it with reverence when you say it. Say it with honor when you say it. Say it with glory when you say it. Because there is no other name given under men whereby we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His full title. When you listen to a Jew, he will talk about Hashem. 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 All the time he says Hashem. There's nothing wrong with that. This is not critical. This is observant. What's he saying? The name, the name, the name. Shem in Hebrew means name. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Shem means the name, the name, the name. The ineffable, unpronounceable, tetragrammaton, which is the name of Almighty God. They could not even let it go forth from their mouth because it was so holy. It was so righteous. It was so far above us. So they say the name, the name. And if they use any name, they'll say Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. But the Jew has a reverential respect for the name of God. We Christians should have respect for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. I will come again. The scholars have been teaching in the Bible colleges. They teach young men who go off to study the Bible that the resurrection of the dead is not really an Old Testament doctrine. That the Jew, the Hebrew, and the Old Testament really didn't understand what was going to happen to them when they passed away. But the Bible says in 1900 BC, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand upon the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job said that. Job certainly believed in a resurrection. He certainly did. 700 years before Christ, we read this, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Isaiah said that 700 years before Christ. The Bible says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death! I will be thy plagues, O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repenteth shall be hid from mine eyes. Who said that? Hosea 700 years before Christ. And then the Bible says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame, had everlasting contempt. Who said that? Daniel did. 606 BC. It's all over the Bible. There is a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. Amen. And my friend, I pray with all of my soul today that you're part of the resurrection of the just. So the resurrection in the New Testament is clearly a doctrine too. In Matthew chapter number 22, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God saying, now listen carefully, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the Lord Jesus Christ said that, quoting scripture, of course speaking of himself, he says, I'm their God. And he says that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not dead. For I'm not the God of dead people. A dead man is a lost man. Amen. But the Bible teaches us very clearly here that the resurrection of the dead is a fact in the New Testament. Who said that? The Lord Jesus. Then we read in the book of John, chapter number 11 and verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha didn't understand anything about the mystery of the body of Christ. She'd never been taught that. She didn't know anything about that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says this to her in the very next verse. John chapter 11 and verse number 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Did you catch that, folks? The Lord Jesus Christ is life. He's the resurrection. You can't be dead in him. If you're in him, you're alive. Amen. And once you're in him, you'll be in him. You'll stay in him. You shall forever exist in him. So the Bible teaches us in John chapter number 11 that there is a resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It's as clear as it can be. There is a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. But the Apostle Paul adds a quirk to it. He adds something to it that God had showed him that had not been revealed to any Old Testament saint. And he tells you this in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that can only come by revelation from God. There is no other way to know it. You can search and search and search and you can't find it. You can hunt all over the Old Testament and you'll find types of it, yes. But you will not have a clear statement about a mystery. The mystery was not stated until the mystery of the body of Christ came into being. The body of Christ, my friend, is the church of God. That's what you're a part of this morning. You're part of the great body of Christ. And therefore, he lays down some great prophecies and promises as it relates to the body of Christ. And he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. With him. That's the key to understanding that scripture. That when the Lord comes back from heaven, he brings the saints of God that are asleep in him. He brings them with him. They're not sleeping out here. Soul sleep is a fabrication. It's a misunderstanding of Old Testament Sheol. And when you try to take an Old Testament word and create New Testament doctrine from it, you get in trouble. The Old Testament was a land of the unseen, the nether world. Jacob talked about that. A land that is not clearly understood. But it was clearly understood in the mind of the Old Testament saint, there would be a resurrection. Job said it 1,900 years before Christ, there will be a resurrection. And thank God for that. But when you get into the New Testament, though the doors are wide open, the scroll is rolled back, and now we begin to see what is the other world, and we begin to see what the resurrection is about, and we begin to understand the resurrection of the dead is not a date, it's a person. It's not a place, it's a person. It's not a doctrine, it's a person. Just like the salvation of the sinner. The salvation of the sinner is not you walking down here and somebody holding something up in front of you and say, do you believe this? Do you believe that? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Oh, I believe all of this. Well, then we confirm you as being a Christian. No. No. Not a thousand times no. I can take you into that water and baptize you 1,000 times. And that will not make you a Christian. You can crawl on your hands and knees down here over broken glass in these aisles. That will not make you a Christian. You can go all over the world and go to all the holy sites everywhere in the world. Pray prayers all over the place. Burn candles, do this, do that. That does not make you a Christian. Well, what does, preacher? Christ does. The Apostle John said, he that hath the Son hath life. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. Salvation is of the Lord. Red man, yellow man, black man, white man, no difference. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And to accept Christ is to accept salvation. So how do I do that, preacher? From your heart. From the inside of you. From that part of you that really wants the truth. You really do want the truth. But you put up all these walls and you hide behind these nuances. And you say this and you say that. But the truth is you're so miserable you can't stand it. Christ is salvation. Embrace the Son. Say, Lord Jesus, if I go to hell, I go to hell trusting you. And the sweet Holy Ghost will say to you, son, there no way you can go to hell trusting me. Lord, I trust you with my soul. I trust you with my salvation. I trust you with my future. Can you do that from your heart? If you can do that from your heart, you can be born again. You can be saved by the grace of God. So the apostle said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In the Old Testament, the scriptures, let me cover this first. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That word caught up is the Greek word harpazo. That word harpazo in Greek means to snatch up, to take by force, to reach down and get. This is where we get the word rapture. Rapture not in the sense that your mind is carried away to some never-never world and you're in such you don't know where you're coming or going. No, I'm talking about reaching down, taking hold, and snatching us out of this world. That's what harpazo means. And it's a powerful word. It is alpha, rho, pi, alpha, zeta, omega, with a rough breathing on the alpha. Har, pazzo, come, catch us away, and he will come. Hallelujah, come. As the apostle John said, come. How about it this morning? If the Lord were to come at any moment while I'm preaching, before I get finished, would you be ready to go to meet him in the clouds? Let me tell you something. I lived a while, and this world out here has never been as dark as it is now. It's never been as pagan as it is now. It's never been as filthy as it is now. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. If I could turn a key, if I could say the word, if I could do something today to bring him back, I would in a heartbeat, but I can't do it. I'm the messenger, but this messenger's telling you, we don't have much time. He's coming again. The Old Testament has types of the rapture. In the book of Genesis chapter 5 verse 24, Enoch walked with God and was not. That's a good way to put it. For God took him. I'm sure they sent out parties to try to find Enoch. Where's Enoch at, boys? What happened to Enoch? And so they go and they search and they search and they search. And they can't find Enoch. And they never would find Enoch. His name means initiation. Teacher, let's learn something from Enoch. What happened to him, preacher? He is the most perfect type of the rapture of the church in the whole Bible. Amen. What happened to him? He was not, for God took him. There was a day when Enoch walked with God. And God said, Enoch, this is your last day to walk with me on this earth. You're going to walk with me in eternity now. All right, Lord, I'm ready to go. Let's go now. Leave this place behind. And away they went. Genesis 6, verse 8, Noah was a type of the church, type of the catching away. How so? He went from the old world into the new world. We're about to leave the old world, and we're going into the new world. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 29. The Bible said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. This implies prosperity. This implies that people were making money. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Notice how that prosperity and sodomy are associated with Lot. Anything like that out there? Are you living in a cave, or do you realize that when they start walking down the street on Gay Pride Day, something's wrong? Amen. Joshua chapter number 2, verse 21. She said, according to your word, so be it. She sent them away. They departed. Now watch this. She bound the scarlet lion in the window, thus giving Rahab part of that blood covenant that runs from Genesis through Revelation, covered by the blood. Here's a prostitute, folks. She lived on the wall. She was a sordid individual. She was not somebody you'd want to be with. She's a prostitute. You want to be seen in public with her. Yet that's the kind of people God saves. From the guttermost to the uppermost. From the worst to the best. God is able to save sinners. Well, I've never done anything like that. One day you'll find out what a sinner you really are. There are people on death row right now. Down here at, I think it's Eagle Bend now, isn't it? Down in Nashville, Tennessee's death row. And they're down there and they're looking at themselves and they're saying, how could I have ever committed such a crime as this? Not too long ago, I saw a documentary. It was a man who was a serial killer. He was a homosexual, sodomite. And all he killed was sodomites. He killed sodomites. He's a serial killer. And when they found him, they found a Bible in his room. Now listen. They opened up the Bible where he had it marked in the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, you remember reading about the tribe of Benjamin. Do you remember the man who cut up his wife into pieces and sent her out across the land? And did you notice in the book of Judges, tribe of Benjamin is connected with sodomy. That's another place outside of Sodom, connected with sodomy. Do you know what I believe happened to this man? I believe one day he got to where he hated himself so much, he despised what he was, that all he would do is go out with sodomites. But then when he went out with one, because he hated himself so much, he hated them, and he'd kill them. He'd butcher them. Why was he doing this? Because he literally despised the creature that he was. But he couldn't do anything to change it. Can the leopard change its spots? If somewhere in that Bible he'd got a hold of Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13, that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If he'd done that, God would have saved him out of sodomy. Amen. But the thing I'm trying to show you how that you can descend into a pit that you do not believe it's possible for you. Yes, you can. And I'm standing at the edge of it and I'm saying to you, there's a pit. Don't go there. Don't fall into that pit. For you'll never come out on your own. That's a picture of Jeremiah, sunk into the mire. He couldn't climb the walls. He couldn't get out. Somebody had to get him out. That's where every sinner is. He's at a pit and he can't get out. And the Lord Jesus reaches way, he's got long arms. He reaches way down into that pit. And you see that wondrous, beautiful, nail-scarred hand reaching into your world. Where is it this morning, friend? Are you a drug addict? Where's your world today? Are you a serial killer? Why wouldn't anybody like that here? Don't kid yourself. In 43 years of pastoring this church, I've probably had murderers walk through that door right there more than once. And that nail-scarred hand reaches down into your world. All he asks you to do, take hold of it. And you take hold of that nail-scarred hand, he'll pull you right up. Will he reach into the pit where he'll reach right into the midst of the filth where you are? Don't you see in the Old Testament where the saint of God could not be defiled? The Lord Jesus could not be defiled. Sin cannot defile him. He can reach into the dirtiest of the dirt. And he can pull you up out. Hallelujah to God. That's where he found me. Amen. Never forget it. Never forget it. The Bible said, to whom much is forgiven, the same does what? They loveth much. Amen. So we read of Rahab. Oh my. 2 Kings 12, and it came to pass, then went on, talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. That'd been enough to scare anybody to death. And parted them asunder. So all I can figure is that Elijah and Elisha were walking shoulder to shoulder. And all of a sudden something appeared between them and it separated them. And God does that. And when he did, up went Elijah. Man, never happened before, never happened since. One of the most remarkable things in the Bible. What's that mean, preacher? That means he's going to come and separate you. He knows his sheep. He knows every name of them. And he's going to come and get you. Hallelujah to God. Now, I'm going to read two or three more for you. I'm about to get wore out. I've been preaching this morning. The reason I have, because God's moving in my soul. Got something in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost came in here. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. and transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, his raiment white as the light. And behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elias talking with him. Now what's this? Well, here's what Peter said about it. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we're with him in the holy mount. Talking about the second coming of Christ. That was a beautiful picture of how the saints of God, the dead in Christ, shall rise first. You were buried with a corruptible, dead, decaying, vile body. Don't think so. Live on. Live a little while in this world. I'm not trying to throw a blanket over you as a young person. Enjoy that youth. I did. But as you get older in this world, you'll begin to understand how this old body wears out. But I'm so glad, hallelujah to God, when he comes to catch me up, he doesn't catch me up in this old dead, wore out corpse. Man, one of the old saints said, it's like a saved man. He's got a corpse strapped to his back, and everywhere he goes, he's walking with that corpse. Got to slide off. Come on, hold it. And that's it. He's yoked to that corpse. That's what God's coming to free you from. He's coming to free you from that corpse. Amen. You have to feed it. You got to wash it. You got to give it rest. You got to take care of it. You got to give it medication. Amen. And one day you won't have to do anything for it. You'll be caught up and glorified in the presence of God. Never anybody talk about my body like that. It's your body. It's like my body. And I know what my body has to. I know what I got to do for my body. If I don't do it, you'll smell me when I walk into the room, and you'll see me. I got to take care of my carcass just like you do. One day I'll have a glorified body shining in the sun. Luke 24. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. Came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them. Notice how God parts. And he was carried up into heaven. Acts chapter number 1. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Boy. Now here is another type. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell. Whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. That's the way you'll be. You'll know you're alive. You have more life than you've ever had life. And you can hold your hand out and you can run your finger through your hand. You got a body, but it's not a physical body like this. It'll be a glorified body. When the Lord Jesus walked through the wall and appeared with them while they were eating. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his resurrected body, could just walk through a wall. Now, in his incarnate body, he could die. They nailed him on a cross and he died. But in that resurrected body, hallelujah. The apostle says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what John says about that. Beloved, now with the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. It's called the blessed hope. That word hope literally means to sanctify. What's that mean? Separate you. Separate you. Put you apart. What do you mean, preacher? You get your mind off of the temporal, off of this world, and you begin to think about the eternal and about the coming of the Lord. There's blessed hope. There should be no reason why every day of your life shouldn't be a day filled with joy and hope. Amen. We go through hard times here. We carry the bodies of our loved ones out to the graveyard. Believe me, friend, I've seen it. I've been out there more times than I'd like to count. And I've seen the tears on the faces of those people whose heart is broken. But I've also seen the victory and the power and the glory and the joy that comes from the Lord. We don't sorrow as others that have no hope. Now, I'm going to leave you with this. We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. I will come again. Have you given up hope in the hope? Have you quit hoping? Has your mind been dulled? Do you no longer look for the coming of the Lord Jesus? If you don't, let me beg you in the name of Jesus. Why don't you renew that fellowship with the Lord? Renew it. 1 John 1:9. Renew it. And come and start walking with him again. Start reading his word again. start fellowshipping with him again. Let me read something for you and I'll close. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, he starts here, I prayed for faith. The thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning, but faith did not come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. You know who said that? D.L. Moody. There's just something about the Bible, this book. It's alive. Amen. Father, in thy holy name, bless your word. Sower went forth to sow. That's what I am, Lord. I'm a sower. Sower went forth to sow. But Lord, you're the Lord of the harvest. You are. You are. That's in no man's power. You're the Lord of the harvest. And I pray that you glorify yourself today in whatever way you choose to do. In thy holy name I pray. Amen.